top of the key bone. Drives, kicks it off. Schofield, a long three. It's good again.
Money!
The Admiral does it again. 76-73, another three-point shot.
Call from the Vault Network. The big three by Admiral Schofield as Tennessee takes down number one Gonzaga out in Phoenix yesterday. Bring in Jimmy Himes from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville to talk about that and a whole lot more related to Tennessee. Jimmy, what's going on this morning?
Hey, a lot's going on. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, doing great. How high do you think Tennessee climbs in the polls after that win?
Three or four. I'm not sure that they'll. I don't know that they'd move ahead of Duke and Kansas. So I'm going to say three or four.
We heard that highlight of Admiral Schofield hitting at three, and he made some huge shots in the game, scored 25 of his 30 after halftime. And I thought it was interesting hearing Rick Barnes after the game saying that when he made that shot, he thought about all the work he had put in practice. But, Jimmy, a guy that size who can shoot like that, well, you can almost hear the cash register ringing, can't you?
Well, he's gotten better and better throughout his career, and that's a mark of a Rick Barnes player. If you look at the players he's had at Tennessee, almost all of them have gotten better throughout their career. And Schofield has improved dramatically from when he came in as a freshman to now. He couldn't shoot like that when he first got here. Now he's a very good three-point shooter. He's not afraid of the moment. He did get fortunate when he banked that one in. You realize when you bank in a shot, that's really not a good shot. It's a lucky shot.
Right.
But he was able to hit the three, an open look on the wing. He hit the game winner there on a nice play in which he set a screen and popped out behind the three-point line. I thought he was outstanding. What also caught my attention was after he made one of those key threes, he went back to the bench holding his hand like, calm down. This thing's not over. Got to finish this thing. Calm down. And Tennessee was able to finish. They actually had a bad break when Gonzaga missed a shot and Bone leaped up to get the rebound and fell over one of his teammates, and Gonzaga kept possession. And I thought that might end up costing Tennessee, but it didn't. So they get their fifth win in history over a number one ranked team in the AP poll.
Barnes also talks about toughness. What's most impressive to you about how they've hung in there in games like this? You know, Kansas a couple weeks ago, they didn't get it done in overtime. Gonzaga yesterday, and you know, both times Grant Williams went out with fouls, but they were still able to, you know, hang tough in the middle of a game against, you know, a highly ranked team.
Well, that speaks to their mental toughness. That speaks to the team that they're not a one man team, even though they have the SEC Player of the Year. But you got Schofield. I'll tell you what, Jordan Bone hit some big. Bowden hit some big shots for Tennessee. So I thought Kyle Alexander came up with some nice plays for him. So did Bone. So this is a really good team. They've got a lot of different pieces to it. I thought Bowden was huge because every additional weapon you have on offense makes you that more difficult to guard. And he hit some big threes for Tennessee. But I think that toughness showed. And one of the things that I like about it, they have been through the wars. They have played some really good opponents through the years, whether it's Kansas, whether it's Villanova or Purdue from a year ago. They've played some real good teams. Of course, Kentucky on an annual basis. So these moments are not too big for these players, but I thought that was huge for Tennessee. You know, they were down 9 with a little over 6 minutes left, and frankly, I didn't give them much of a chance to come back and win that game, but I give them a lot of credit for rallying to beat an undefeated number one team in the country.
Jimmy Himes is our guest from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville.
I guess one more question on the basketball, man. It looks like this team is a very confident, play well as a group, defensively and offensively. Man, the sky seems like, you know, there's no limit of what they can do. Man, is it a Final Four team or even a national championship team, quality team?
Well, I think they're capable. It's certainly hard to make a prediction right now that they would get to the Final Four or win it. It could be – it's not just the matchups in the NCAA tournament. People get, I think, carried away with it's all about matchups. No, it's a lot about how do you play. You can't tell me that Tennessee shouldn't have beat Loyola Chicago last year. But yeah. It is some about matchups, but again, it's a lot about how do you handle it, how do you play. Virginia got beat by 16 seed. Don't tell me that was a matchup problem. But I do think this team is capable of getting to the Final Four. I think it's capable. If you're good enough to beat Gonzaga, you're good enough to beat anybody in the country, right? If you're good enough to take Kansas to overtime, you're good enough. Now, will you be playing your best at that time? I don't know. But I do think this is going to be an exciting season for Tennessee basketball.
All right, Jimmy, you got to give us an update on the offensive coordinator and who's in line to get the job, and at least tell us who's going to get the job.
Well, here's what I think at this point. Obviously, Hugh Freeze going to Liberty. Dan Enos at Alabama. I'm not sure he's going to leave. I was told by a pretty good source that this person thinks Kendall Briles is going to Florida State. I haven't seen an update on his status. That leaves me with Mike Yurcich. He is at Oklahoma State. He's been there 6 years. In his 6 years, they've won 10 games four times. He has produced very good quarterbacks. He had Mason Rudolph, who was very productive. And then before that, last year he had Taylor Cornelius, who had never been a starter. He's a senior guy that comes in and has a great year for Oklahoma State. But not only that, Oklahoma State spreads the field, but they run the ball effectively. They've had some really good rushers. They've had some 1,000-yard rushers there. And so, and you can run out of the spread. There's nothing. There's no rule against that. You can be effective in doing it. I think he's a leading candidate right now. I think he's the guy to watch for as far as the Tennessee offensive coordinator search.
That's kind of interesting because it seems, you're running the football out of a spread is common. But what about the quarterback? Will he be a runner as well or more of a thrower?
He's going to, again, Thomas has to be a thrower. He's not a very good runner. He's not the dual threat quarterback I thought Tennessee was getting. I think he's a very pedestrian runner. And so they'll throw it. Now, they'll run, they'll spread. It won't be a zone read spread. That's what they did with Dobbs. This would just be a spread, more like what Texas Tech has done. And frankly, what Oklahoma State does. So Oklahoma State's quarterback runs it some, but not a lot. Okay. So I think you'll see them. And I think that Jeremy Pruitt understands that his offensive line is not good enough to run a power running game like Alabama and Georgia do. You can't do that. I think he gets that. So I think that's why he's okay with trying to run it from the spread.
How's the recruiting going?
Any big updates? Well. They got 20 commits, and they're in on 6, 8, 10 other really outstanding players. So I think they're going to have a really good year. I think December the 19th, they're going to feel really good about where they are in recruiting when they sign a bunch of kids.
Jimmy, I'm real curious about this. If there was such an uproar over Greg Schiano, how is there not about Kendall Briles?
Good question.
And in my opinion, what Kendall Briles and that staff did, to me, is a lot more questionable as opposed to what, everybody thought Schiano did at Penn State.
Well, Schiano was wrong by the Tennessee fan base. He was wrong by some others. There was no indication he had anything to do with it, nor that he had any knowledge. And there was a Freed report, I think was the name of it. He interviewed 200 people. He didn't even have Schiano on his list. That's how far down the list they thought Schiano was of having any knowledge of what happened. Briles was at Baylor for 9 years, and this sexual assault situation was going on during that time. He was cited, along with some others, only for being a part of what was considered an atmosphere of compliance with sexual assault.
And harassing the victim, putting pressure on the victims.
Yeah, so that kind of stuff. So here's the deal. Let's go back to Schiano. And Brett McMurphy, who had been with ESPN, said this, and I agree with him. If that had been John Gruden with the same resume that Schiano had in terms of the background, Tennessee fans would have loved it. Nobody said a word. But Gruden was still in play. And most of the uproar from the fans, it was like, let's look for an excuse to say no to Schiano because we don't want him. We want Gruden. And in fact, they had painted the rock with Gruden's name on it after the Schiano deal. Got the wrong coach from Tampa Bay. So now I'm with you. That's a pretty interesting dynamic. Basically, here's the word. It's hypocritical. It's hypocritical, in my opinion.
I agree. Or Jimmy Himes coming out from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville. 7:28 the time on 104.5 The Zone. And Mark's here to tell us about the Lee Company.
Yeah, when it comes to home maintenance, it pays to have a plan. And at Lee Company, that plan starts as low as $8.25 per month. Sign up for a Lee Company home maintenance plan today to ensure your heating and air conditioning system are properly maintained twice a year. Lee Company's home maintenance plan also includes a comprehensive annual inspection of your home's plumbing and electrical components because safety, comfort, and energy savings are all part of the package. Members enjoy priority service and special member discounts, so start saving today. Visit LeeCompany.com/promotions to learn more or call them at 615-567-1000, Lee Company, serving Middle Tennessee families and businesses since 1944. Imagine life.
Time is 7:34 on 104.5 The Zone. This is the Wake Up Zone coming up at 7:47. Our Lee Company hot performers, so stay tuned. Mark has gotten with the committee to make that decision.
Yes,
we'll find out what he chose. It's kind of like the Heisman vote. Yeah. Continue now with Jimmy Hives from Sports Radio, WNML in Knoxville.
Jimmy, in as much as the early signing period is important for this Tennessee coaching staff, don't you agree that January is going to be a big month too? Because as far as the regular February signing date, there are still some really good players to be had, and Tennessee is in on a lot of them.
Well, they are, and what's going to be interesting to me also is how many will Tennessee actually sign in December. So they have 20 commitments. Out of that 20, how many will sign? Those that don't sign, you got to babysit them for about 6 or 7 more weeks, right, until signing day to keep them. Here's the other thing, Mark. I don't think Tennessee is going to wind up with all 20 of those players that are committed, because I think they're trying to recruit over some of them. And so I think there's a pretty good chance that there might be some phone silence with some of them. In other words, not calling those kids. And so I think there might be a couple of changes there. Tennessee, by my count, because of the 3 grad transfers, they can only sign 22. If you got 20 commitments, that leaves 2 spots open, and they're in on 6, 8, maybe 10 really good players. So it's going to be interesting to see what transpires. January will not be as busy as usual when you've signed a bunch of kids in December, but it will still be worth watching to see who Tennessee ends up with.
You pretty sure that there aren't going to be any more staff changes, or might he wait until the early signing period or even February to do that? And that happens, of course, as we know, on a lot of different staffs.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that. I don't like the idea that that you're going to purge the coaching roster and then you wait till after signing day to do it so that you keep kids. I think that's dirty pool. I've seen a lot of programs do it. Whether Tennessee does it, then Tennessee's done it in the past. Whether Pruitt does it or not, I don't know. I will not say that I'm sure that there won't be any changes, because I think there could be some more. We know about the offensive coordinator situation. Quality control coach Monterio Hardesty leaving to go to Western Kentucky. But, yeah, there could be another change. I don't know who it might be, but there could be another change. I wouldn't be surprised.
What about Marquel Osborne announcing that he's going to transfer? That can't be a surprise.
No, I don't think it was. He didn't make too many plays. One play he did make that was huge for Tennessee was he was in on that block punt against ETSU early in that game. They scored a touchdown. It was the only touchdown Tennessee had scored in the first quarter in forever during this past season. But, no, I don't think it was a big surprise. Yeah, he was a 4-star. He was highly regarded. Tennessee beat out some really good programs to get him, but he never materialized into the player that Tennessee thought that he would become.
Jimmy Himes, our guest from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville. Wanted to ask you about the Heisman vote. How did you sort of sort out things with Kyler Murray and the way he played versus Tua, and not always playing in the second half of a lot of those games that were blowouts for Alabama? And did you kind of hold that against him? How did you look at it all?
I didn't hold it against him at all. In fact, I gave him credit for that. He should not be blamed for playing so well that he doesn't get to play in the fourth quarter. If Tua had played on the team with Oklahoma's defense, he'd have played in the fourth quarter a lot. Right?
Yes.
So now, having said so, I don't know how in the world you would penalize Tua because of his numbers. I did not. Having said that, do I think Kyler Murray is deserving of a Heisman Trophy? I absolutely do. He had a marvelous year. He was fantastic. And Haskins had a great year, too. So I think this was a year where you had 3 candidates that were tremendous, that could have won a Heisman just about any other year. I voted for Tua, but I don't blame somebody if they wanted to vote for Murray. But here's what happened, in my opinion. What happened was Tua got hurt and didn't play very well in the SEC championship game, and Murray put on another show. And I think people looked at that last game and said, okay, there's my tiebreaker. And I think that swung it in favor of Murray.
How do you look at, a certain percentage of voters turning in their ballots before the conference championship games are played?
I don't have a problem with that. And I almost did it myself. But I don't have a problem with it in that if you already know and what happens that weekend isn't going to change your mind, I guess you can go ahead and do it. Here's what I waited on. I was convinced I was going to vote for Tua, and I did. I was waiting on third place. That's what I was concerned about. Who was I going to vote for the third spot? So I waited till Sunday to vote. I was swayed a little bit by the Murray-Tua situation from Saturday, but I still voted for Tua. My question mark at the third spot was whether I was going to vote for Haskins or Gardner Minshew at Washington State. and I ended up voting for Haskins, who I thought was more deserving. So, but I did wait till Sunday, and I usually do wait till the last moment, but I guess if you feel like you know what you're going to vote, you know, your opinion's not going to be changed. It's okay, but I would rather wait till after those games are played to vote. That's what I did.
Jimmy, one more from me. The Lady Vols scored a nice win at Texas yesterday, 88-82. Jackson scored 33. Tennessee's 8-0, but is there kind of a feeling of I need to see them do well in SEC play before, you know, this fan base believes in them?
I would say so, because what happened last year? Last year that team started out, what, 15 or 16-0, and then blew a game at Notre Dame, and then they fell apart in SEC play. I would say yes, although I don't think the SEC is as strong this year as it was last year. I think Mississippi State's really good. South Carolina's not as good. It took Florida forever to even win a ball game this year. So the league is down. Tennessee should take advantage of that. Right now, I think Tennessee's the second-best team in the league to Mississippi State. But I'm impressed that they won at Texas. That's a pretty decent Texas team. They had a key player back. Mimi Jackson had a tremendous game, 33 points, the best game she's played in the Tennessee uniform. And to think she went scoreless in the previous game. But, yeah, that was a big win for Tennessee. And I think they got a really good team. But I do want to see what they do when they get into conference play, in part because of the way they collapsed last year.
Jimmy, great stuff. We'll talk to you Friday.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
From Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville, Jimmy Himes each Monday and Friday right here on the Wake Up Zone, talking Tennessee, SEC, Heisman Trophy. We cover the whole gamut there with Jimmy. Coming up next, our Lee Company hot performer and a not-so-hot road trip out west. We'll explain in just a moment here on 104.5 The Zone. First, let's have Mark tell us a thing or two about Wilson County, Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Yeah, my man Mitchell Bone, I know, is pumped up about the results from the Black Friday sale. And now he's got the end-of-year sale with all remaining 2018 models in stock. Fantastic savings. They will not be beat on price. And Wilson County Chevrolet has an award-winning service department and is open on Saturdays. And the goal, of course, is for you to drive off in a car that's in the exact shape it was in when you first drove it off the lot when you bought it. And you'll like buying a car from Wilson County Chevrolet because they treat customers like family. But Wilson County Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC also has a huge selection of all 2019 model cars and trucks. So come test drive a new 2019 car or truck. You'll be glad you did, and be sure to ask for your Mitchell discount. That's right. Wilson County Motors, a Bone family tradition since 1927. Great people, great deals, fantastic service, and nearby love.